Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture. With your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection. iRiver singer-songwriter Carla Adolph has had a couple of trying years and recently found herself searching God for the next step in her life and music ministry. After a brief hiatus, then connecting with a friend who has gone through a similar experience, Adolph and American singer-songwriter Ben Pasley reformed the group Enter the Worship Circle. The duo has recently released Down Here and Up Above, their first CD, and Carla's on the phone with us from her High River home to talk about the group and the CD. But before we begin our conversation with Carla, let's listen to Down Here and Up Above, the title track from Enter the Worship Circle's new CD, Down Here and Up Above.
Peace in heaven, peace at home. War is falling on its knees. The sons and daughters coming home.
And now to our interview with Carla Adolph. Good evening, Carla.
Hey, how's it going?
Not bad. Now, your latest ministry adventure came after you'd written about a period of soul searching, a little bit of a hiatus. Tell us a little bit and give our listeners a little bit of an idea of what actually went on with you in that part of your journey.
Sure. So last time we talked, I believe it was right after the Grief Project, and maybe we even talked right after the flood. I'm not sure.
Yep.
But so I released an album sort of inspired by grief in 2012. In 2013, the High River flooded and we lost our house that we had bought literally 3 weeks before the flood. And so it was a really hard time for me. I was pregnant with my second child and it was just, it was overwhelming. And so for me, music became definitely on the sort of back burner project because I had to really focus on how to raise my kids while we were in flux as a family. And in the music industry, unfortunately, when you can't sort of continue in consistency, things will drop off. And so there's a bit of a drop off for me, sort of started coming back to it last year, but was really feeling a bit of sort of a tension with the solo work that I was doing. I just couldn't find something was missing. I can't really put my finger on it. And so I actually was sort of leaning towards giving music a break completely from my life and going through some health things related to the flood. And it was just a really intense time for me. And in the midst of all that, I got a phone call one day from Ben, who's my wonderful friend of over 10 years. I've known him and his wife, Robin, for over 10 years. And Ben called and said, I think I'm going to quit music, but I had this really weird lunch and with this guy, and he thinks we could maybe revisit Into the Worship Circle. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is amazing. It was really interesting timing for me. I was sort of, I had nothing to lose, I guess, and I was really open to the idea. And so we started a process of talking and processing for about 3 months about what it would look like to bring Into the Worship Circle back, because Into the Worship Circle itself had also had a period of dormancy. So it was really interesting time. That was about a year ago when all that happened.
Yeah, I want to get into a little bit more detail on the whole Into the Worship Circle and how that all came about in a couple of minutes. But looking at that and looking at sort of the journey that you were taking, how difficult was it for you to come to sort of that conclusion that maybe it's time to step back from music? And it, sort of what was going through your mind, and how were you processing that on you know, both a personal level, a spiritual level, and all, you know, all of those aspects playing in on what was going on?
It's a great question. It was totally disorientating for me. It was frustrating, confusing. I felt very much like I had been doing my best to obey the Lord through circumstantial challenges and just evolution as an artist. And throughout all those things, I really just was a little bit dumbfounded at the end of it, but I just felt like I couldn't continue doing what I was doing, which was the important moment that I was in with the Lord. Mm-hmm. It didn't shake my faith, but it really caused me to get closer to the Lord and ask deeper questions, more questions about why, how, you know, what are we doing with our lives? And, you know, I'm my 30s, and so it was a little bit of a midlife crisis, I guess, but it was really wonderful to have the friends that I have, and especially to have Ben's friendship in the midst of it. And I feel like it was absolutely vital. The way I describe it now is I had a field to farm, let's say. And I was plowing, you know, 10% of that field with a specific vision that I loved and felt totally excited about. But if you do that for 10 years over and over and you don't plow the other 90% of your field, that soil gets tired, right? And so I really just felt like this was an invitation to plow the entire field of me as a creative person and as a songwriter.
Well, you said, you know, some of your initial conversation with Ben, it he sounded like he was going through something similar as well, and I'm sure the others have gone through it. So if you had somebody who came to you, whether they were artist or just somebody who's going through this type of thing, a similar experience, what kind of advice would you give them that helped you through?
Well, I guess I would say just to, when you feel like something's shifting or changing, don't beat the dead horse. I think I was so used to something. It was a little bit, like I said, disorientating to let go of the idea of me doing all of the creating and the songwriting and the touring as a solo artist and in the general market. I think I kind of jumped all the way over to, well, I'm just going to give up music. Well, I don't think that's actually, well, obviously that's not what was right for me. Mm-hmm. And it's not right for what the Father's put in me. And so, but I think it's okay to just take a moment and have seasons of pause, seasons of reflection, have a spiritual director in your life, have a therapist in your life, you know, people who can objectively coach you through something like this, because, you know, your friends, your fans, your family, those people who love you as a performing artist or whatever it is that you offer to them, they're going to feel a little bit confused by a conversation of, you know, when I was sort of sharing my heart, I think I might want to change, you know, my job or whatever, my vocation. And the people who love me and my music were kind of like, what? You know, because to them, there's no issue. But when you have an objective party in your life, sort of saying, oh, okay, well, what makes you happy? What's God saying? And what are you writing in your journal? That's a really valuable help I found through that season of transition.
Yeah, it's interesting because I've talked to people who are in groups where they've come to the conclusion that it's now time for the group to end. It somehow seems different when it's an individual realizing that they've come to a different season. Did you find that? Did you find that people had more of a challenge connecting with you on that because it's you as an individual saying, now I need to move on? as opposed to, say, you know, a group that just realizes that things are going different directions for the group's members and they've now got to make that change?
Yeah, I mean, I've had both experiences. So I've had a partnership that I was in sort of end, and then this season of looking at my solo career ending. And I wouldn't say that either was easier. They're sort of different, like you're saying. When a group ends, though, I think that the disappointment about something ending can be diffused among many people. Whereas for myself, if I end something, then really there isn't anybody else that can either, you know, sort of carry the disappointment or pick up the creative mantle. So it's really connected to me. So it does create a little bit of a challenge. You have to have grace for yourself and humility and just be sort of, I don't know, open and share your story with people. I still think about it sometimes and think, oh man, have I disappointed people? But, if I was continuing to make music out of a place of obligation, then I know I would be disappointing people because that music wouldn't be very good. So,
right.
So I think it's okay as long as we can be really gracious and open with our journey, because people do have a very sentimental attachment to certain things that people create, like certain music or certain photos, whatever, right? So
yeah.
I think it's important as a creative person to be honest and vulnerable as much as we can, as much as is appropriate, I guess.
Well, let's take a quick break, and then we'll be right back with our guest, singer-songwriter Carla Adolph. I'm your host, Robert White, and you listen to Arts Connection on Faith FM.
I want to see your face. I want to see your face. There is so much getting in the way. I want to see your face.
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Tear the Veil from Enter the Worship Circle's new CD, Down Here and Up Above. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our interview with Carla Adolph. Carla, you mentioned Enter the Worship Circle and a few minutes back, and the fact that it wasn't really a new group. It was something that had already kind of existed. But what's the difference between what was and where Enter the Worship Circle is going now?
Sure. So Ben and Robin Pasley started, they're wonderful friends, you know, they're based out of Colorado. They started Enter the Worship Circle in around 1998. They were touring as a band called 100 Portraits, the two of them. They felt sort of a calling and urge to create very stripped down worship songs that were written right out of the Psalms that college kids could reproduce easily, because most of their concerts were in college and university scene in States, and they were noticing that these kids could really have some, you know, use some resources. They had no idea that it would be a massive success, and it just did really well. So then they created more CDs in the same vein, but they always collaborated with musicians or artists that they had in their sort of sphere of relationship at the time. So there's four worship circle albums. So those are the collaborative albums that I was on the fourth one, and it was amazing. We were all in a room together recording live off the floor. Then there's a series of chair and microphone albums, which mine, I have one that's chair and mic 3, and Ben has chair and mic 1. And those are just singer-songwriter, like, I was just me and a guitar and a mic. It was great. There's a couple of other things that are connected to Enter the Worship Circle as well. And so that collection, that collaboration, has been around for a long time and producing music up until about 2007 or so, at which time it took a break as well. And so it's all sort of this storyline, right, of things that were, that had their lifespan, and then they took a break. They sort of went underground for a while, and then the Father seems to have, you know, called us to breathe new life into them. And what's cool about it now, Ben and I are the only people in the collaboration right now. We have created music that still is based out of the heart of the psalmist, that still is easy to play, that still has sort of real, we want to have sort of heartfelt conversations with God about how it's hard to relate to God, or how we're disappointed, or how he's resurrecting things in our life. But we've applied a different musical approach this time, because music has, you know, continuing to evolve, and we felt it was important to sort of be a current sound. So we chose the direction of using loop beds and some programming, which we can actually teach and we ourselves use in a live setting, because a lot of churches now are sort of moving towards loop beds and things like that, which is really fun and really exciting. So, yeah, we're just still trying to be current and relevant, but with all of our songs being based out of the Psalms.
Yeah, there have been a number of musicians that have started using the looping technology, especially the you know, soloists or very small groups, and it allows them a broader sound to be able to do. In terms of what was what's happening with the Enter the Worship Circle, you mentioned that you started having conversations with Ben about May, and then now, you know, almost 5 months later, you've got a new CD. How did it all come together that quickly?
Well, actually, we started talking last December, so we've been at it for about a year, working hard, trying to get the songs sort of there, ready for people. We started writing online, so because Ben lives in Colorado, so what we would do is we would post lyrics and some little voice recordings of song ideas, and we would bounce those back and forth. And then in April, we were together in Colorado for our first of two studio sessions. And pretty much any time we're together, we're creating content. So we're working on videos, we're working on songs, we're working on our performances. So we are like, we are just hardworking little weekends that we book when we're together. Which is, you know, it's really fun and it's kind of neat. I used to live in the same city as Ben and Robin, so I have a bit of a nostalgia for, oh, you know, remember when I lived down the road and I lived a block away? But now we do a ton of work over Skype and over email, and it's great. It's really fun.
Well, how much of a challenge? I mean, I look at it and I mean, you've had some videos that have come out, and it looks like you're doing a lot of stuff off the floor, and that. How much of a challenge is that? Especially in terms of being able to carve out to do that and to really focus on what you're doing at that particular time.
Do you mean the challenge when we're together, or just in general for our schedules?
Usually when you're together, because I mean, it's scheduling wise, and it sounds like you guys are using, you know, like you said, using Skype and different technologies to do that. But in terms of keeping that focus when you're there together.
Well, we have really great families. So our spouses are 100% behind us, and they are involved when we are in the same city together. One of our spouses is sort of on our team taking care of kids and helping us with logistics, which is really helpful. We have an amazing sort of team in both places. So in High River, we have our main sort of contributors in the areas of photo, video, and style. So those three people get together and they sort of help us brainstorm, okay, what do we want to communicate this time? And then we'll film things, or we'll take photos, or we'll do interviews, that kind of thing. And then same thing happens in Colorado. We have a team there that is ready to sort of help us. And so we book weekends and we work like 10-hour days on those weekends trying to do our best. And then we spend a lot of time in between editing and, you know, getting things organized and figured out as far as how we want to present our information.
You know, it sounds like it's a real family effort. And I mean, I think there was one video you posted that was your son taking a video of some of the work project you were doing.
Yeah, it was really fun. I homeschool my son. He's in grade 2, so he thought that video day was very interesting. I don't know if you noticed, but he had his bow tie on and everything, mm-hmm. So he came all dressed up, and he shot some B-roll. Our friend Jonathan and Bryant, who are video guys, they taught him about B-roll, so we shot B-roll, and then him and I edited it a little bit, and yeah, it's really fun, and because we are just the two of us, and we're a small little entity, we definitely rely on really great creative consultants that have agreed to help us, and they're just wonderful people that are bringing a ton of creative sort of equity to enter the worship circle. So we are deeply appreciative of them.
Well, with this first CD and that, did you just sort of work on a theme in terms of what you wanted to go, where you wanted to go both musically and lyrically?
Yeah, so as we were we start by writing out of the Psalms. So that's always where we start. And we literally just meditate on various Psalms, start writing. Once we start writing, we sort of sense that there's a bit of a direction that's coming through, and then we will choose, you know, based on that those directions, we'll choose, okay, we want to go this way, that way. With this album, as you can see on even the title down here and up above, we wanted to play with the idea that everyday life, sort of normal, everyday stuff that the Psalms talk about, is met by this epic, beautiful interaction with the heavens and with God and His Son and the Holy Spirit. And so we wanted to smash those two things together. And even if you're listening to our music, we're sort of singing in like a folky Appalachian way over top of these loop beds. So it's, again, these contrasts. So our goal was to provide, I guess, a encouragement and joy and vision into that everyday sort of grind that all of us are in. Mm-hmm. And we felt that that was a really beautiful mandate. That's a mandate of this idea of God having an unfinished story in our life and invading it with His resurrection and His voice and His purposes. And that's what's personally happening for Ben and I. And we feel the songs are reflecting the joy and the proclamation that comes out of what would Lazarus sing when he walks out of the cave? That's what we were kind of asking ourselves. What would Lazarus sing? Because Ben and I do feel like we're both kind of walking out of the cave, right?
Yeah.
So what song do we have to sing? And a lot of them are full of proclamation and joy and hope. And that's where the album sort of landed.
Well, let's take one final break before we finish our conversation with singer-songwriter Carla Adolph. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM.
You will remember, that's what you say. Every hair on my head a number, you're counting once again.
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to You Will Remember from Enter the Worship Circle's new CD, Down Here and Up Above. I'm your host, Robert White. We're going to wrap up our conversation with Carla Adolph, who is part of the duo of Down Here and Up Above, Enter the Worship Circle. What's been the reaction so far? I know you've posted some of the songs on Instagram and on social media. You've now got the CD. It's been out for a little bit. What's been the reaction to the CD?
Well, mostly the reaction's been real, just a lot of people who are excited, who are connecting with the songs, who feel like they have an unfinished story. We want these songs to be a part of their soundtrack.
Okay.
Through that story. And so a lot of fans from the past are really excited. You know, they've been listening to Ben's voice for a long time, and they're listening to it again, which makes all of us happy. I mean, I was a fan too, so I still am a fan. Mm-hmm. So it's exciting for us old fans to have another Worship Circle album. A lot of fans have been asking when we'll be on the road, which is something we're actively working on right now. Because we live in two different countries, we tour only one weekend a month. But that's going to be really great, just getting to these locations and sitting down with people and hearing, you know, the feedback right from their, mm-hmm. them and their story. Because, you know, I'm writing music for people. I always have. That's always been my goal. Sort of critical acclaim or media acclaim is nice, but the real meat for me is when I'm sitting down across the table from somebody who's telling me how a specific song or a specific line or a specific moment in the CD really impacted them. And that's it for me. That's just the most beautiful part of being a creator. So I'm looking forward to that, being face to face with people.
And
a few people were kind of like, oh, this is so different. This isn't, you know, hand drums and acoustic guitars. And I think a few people are a little surprised by that, but nothing has been too overwhelming.
Mm-hmm. Where can people find out more information about the Worship Circle and the CD?
So this is how it works for us. We are viewing our music and our story around this music as an opportunity to connect. So everything that you want to know about this music is on our website. There's video streams, there's free chord charts, there's just everything you need. And so if you go to entertheworshipcircle.com, you will have everything you need. If you want to know more about why we're doing stuff, what the story is about, when we're playing, you need to sign up for our newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
If you sign up for the newsletter, you'll instantly get an email that talks a lot more about our story and a couple of videos. We even made a mini doc. So that's the place to sort of land with us. You can also follow us on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter, those kinds of things.
Great.
And the music is available on iTunes, and physical copies are available through our website.
Great. Carla, thanks very much for your time tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Arts Connection today, and thanking my guest, Carla Adolph. And if you miss a broadcast or want to hear it again, look for archive programs on our website at artsconnection.ca. Be sure to tune in next week for another look where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email Robert at artsconnection.ca. Follow us on Twitter at Selah13. Look for the Arts Connection page on Facebook, or check out the Arts Connection blog at blog.artsconnection.ca. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.